Now, normally here at the top of the show, because this is a comic book show, we spend all week, between Tuesday and Tuesday, scripting out comic book bits. The funniest things you ever
heard. A thousand monkeys and a thousand
It's titles. Incredible. Just really skewering what's going on with Marvel, what's going on with DC. It's well-crafted. We spend pretty much 24 hours a day on it, I think.
But then
right before the show, said, "Hey, guys, I have to record a monologue for an audition." And so he said, "Okay, why don't you do that instead?"
Yeah, it's actually a true story about Pete's life, and I'm really excited to hear it because you've told me about it several times.
All right.
And we wanted you guys to hear it because it'll give you a little window into Pete's life.
Yeah, so we're going to step off stage. We're going to let Pete do a monologue.
Pete, so guys, stage! Give a round of applause!
Comic Book Club for humoring this bit, but I am trying to further my career, so please allow me this moment. So this is a true story. After I graduated college, a couple friends of mine moved to Costa Rica to teach English. So I thought, oh great, I'll visit my friends and I'll get to see Costa Rica. So when I got there, they told me about this amazing nature preserve that's kind of on the outskirts a little bit. We have to take a ferry to get there, but they said it's amazing animals, so we gotta go. So we go, and we get there, and it's breathtaking, and they have all these amazing colored birds, and iguanas, and gila monsters, and sloths, and then we get to the monkeys. The goddamn monkeys. We get to this clearing, and it's a walking tour, so there's like 15 of us, and in the clearing is the cutest, most adorable monkey you ever seen, and he's just chilling. And people start taking pictures, and he gets into it. He's jumping around, he's waving, he's doing like a robot monkey dance, but it's all part of his evil plan, because while we're all distracted, monkeys come down from the trees behind us and rob us. This lady screams, "My purse," another guy, "My wallet," another guy, "My camera." And we turn around, and the monkeys are from the trees with their stuff. They start going through this lady's purse. They're throwing down mascara. She had rolling papers. They're going like this, and she's raining papers down. They get to this guy's wallet. They're ripping up his money. There was a flash. Camera hits the ground. Boom. We got monkey jacked. Such a thing. I had to go to Costa Rica and find out. Later, I asked a local about the nature preserve. He goes, "Yeah, nobody goes there. It's run by monkeys." So later, I decided to call my parents and tell them that I'm okay and I survived the monkey jacking, and not to worry, everything's under control. I hang up the phone. I look down. My bag's gone. Someone stole my bag. Now, I don't know if it was a monkey, but someone stole my bag. I had my passport, all my money, these new shades that I just bought. So I was really pissed off. My friend's like, "Don't worry, there's this amazing waterfall that we're going to go to. It's going to cheer you up." And I was like, "Okay, yeah, we'll go to a waterfall, and I'll forget about all my earthly possessions." So we get to this waterfall, and it's a screensaver. It's unbelievable. It's 70 feet tall. It's got this amazing pool. Everybody's swimming, and it's breathtaking, all right? And we're hanging out, and all of a sudden, a roar goes up. People start clapping. I look. There's a dude scaling the wall, these white rocks, just climbing up it. Now, he doesn't have a grappling hook or, like, special shoes. He is barefoot, bare hands, climbing up wet rock. 60 feet in the air, lets go with one arm and starts pounding against the wall. He makes a little ledge, jumps up onto the ledge, and then perfect swan dive into the pool. Everyone goes bananas. I was like, "What? Who does that?" I couldn't believe it. I was like, "I'm scared of heights. I would never go up on wet, slippery rock." And this guy swan dives off of it. I was like, "You know what? I'm not living in fear anymore. This is my new philosophy. Life gives me problems. I'm a fucking swan diver. All right." So I'm feeling good. I'm walking down the path, and all of a sudden I hear what I think is thunder. And I get out of the way, and this motorcycle tears down this path, all right? And on the back of the motorcycle is this girl, and she jumps off the back. Now, the motorcycle doesn't slow down so she can get off. It is going full speed. She jumps off the back. I'm thinking, what's with the people in Costa Rica? Everybody's superheroes? What's going on? So she does a roll move, sticks the landing, and I'm like, "Oh, my God." I pick up my jaw off the ground, dust it off. I'm like, nice dismount. She turns around and goes, thank you. The woman is gorgeous. And I start with like a, hey, what are you, some kind of, she stops me with her hand and goes, yes, I'm an acrobat. I'm in the circus tonight. You should come see me. Now in my head, I'm going, all right, this is it. First challenge, fucking swan dive. I gather myself and I go, maybe I'll show. I go see the show, and it's ridiculous. She's doing triple lindies, no net. Dudes are catching her and throwing her. It's unbelievable, right? So after the show, I compliment her on her ability to defy gravity. And then we go for a walk along the beach. Moonlit night, stars are out, and I got my A game. We're walking, we're talking, it's amazing. It's phenomenal. We get to the end of the beach, neither one of us want the night to end. And I say, hey, look, there's a building over there with a light on. Why don't we go check it out? We walk over to the building, and inside the building is an indoor hot tub. And I open the door. I go to try to open the door. It's locked. She goes, too bad. That would have been fun. Fuck that. I freaking out. I give it a shoulder. It opens. We start to get down on our skivvies. Holy see ya. We see flashlights, whistles. I'm like, holy crap, we make a break for it. We start running. Now we're running in the jungle. And I'm laughing hysterically because I can't stop thinking of that goddamn CCR song, you know, Run Through the Jungle. We're laughing as we're running for the policia. One of the flashlights hits her back. We start serious running. She takes to the trees, like that's something you can do. And I have a pause, I'm like, what do I do? And I didn't want to get her, me busted or her, you know, like, she's up there. So I kept running. Never saw her again. The swan dive giveth, and the swan dive taketh away. No one to swan dive, my friends.
Well,
superheroes.
I mentioned it.
That's it.
Wow. The whole time I was a fan of comic books.
Oh, cool. I thought you were a fan of nearly nude acrobats.
Guys, I'm very excited about the guests we have on the show today, so let's welcome them out. One of them is a writer for Sci-Fi's Alphas. The other one does a bunch of stuff around town. So, ladies and gentlemen, Mark Bernardo and Alden Ford. Yeah. Guys, thank you for coming on the show. Alden, first of all, that wasn't fair. You do a lot of stuff. You have a show that is just moved over to UCB East.
Yeah. Gentrify is the name of the show. It's on Friday nights at 11 o'clock.
Cool. And you also...
that show? Yeah, just me.
Oh, good. If it was anybody else, it would probably...
No. Cool.
Yeah, you could probably get Pete. You could get Pete, or you could get me, but otherwise, anybody else who has the show, it would go downhill. Yeah. And also, you have a bunch of pilots in the New York Television Festival this week.
Yeah, one that I directed and one that I am just acting in coming up. It's actually a pretty good festival this year. Mark Maron is doing a panel for the comedy folks, and Damon Lindelof is doing a panel as well for the nerd folks. So. Something for everybody.
People who like podcasts or nerds.
Right, yeah. Totally.
Cool. That's everybody.
Everybody that matters.
Yeah.
Cool.
Man, I just love podcasts. That's the most important fact about my life.
I love nerds.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Let's talk to you about nerd stuff.
Nerd stuff.
That's cool. So you have been off in Los Angeles writing Alphas.
I have, yeah.
For Sci-Fi. What was that experience? So, you know, not to get too sappy right at the beginning, but you had to pick up everything, leave your family, go over there.
I did. In like a 3-day notice. I got the job on a Wednesday and then eat him out there on a Monday. So wow. I had 5 days to find a place to live, ship my car, say goodbye to my children, you know, all of that stuff.
Did you say ship your car?
Ship my car.
Oh,
yes.
You should drive your car.
Or, turns out I should have rented a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that going out. At first I went and I got the job and I didn't know if it was a long-term thing. I didn't know if it was going to be like 4 months on the show and then the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
Or 4 months on the show and then you're going to move back to New Jersey. So I had like 5 days to choose and I rolled the dice and the dice roll was ship your car back on the future. Turns out back in New Jersey, so I had to ship my car back, which was a huge honking pain in the ass.
I imagine you just cramming your car into like a larger version of your car. Just like a Volkswagen Beetle pushed into like a slightly larger Volkswagen Beetle.
It was very Condor Man the way.
Yeah, exactly. That's a deep reference.
Deep reference.
Does anyone know what
that's
Condor
a deep
Man
cut.
Is?
Yeah, I kind of went to the deep.
It's a Disney movie, superhero movie that was a dude who could fly barely.
Yes, as a condor.
No, because he had a wasn't even a power, right? He had like
a rig. Yeah, he had like a.
It was like a metal glider that just attached to a.
It's like he put two kites on each arm, a kite on each arm, and he was like Condor Man. And Disney was like probably.
Yeah.
Probably true.
If you say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, it seems your gamble actually paid off really nicely because Alphas has been doing better in the ratings, and people actually like it.
They seem to.
Yeah.
You know, at least judging by the Twitters, at least 70% of people like it, and 30% of people like, bring back Eureka! I'm like, it's not my fault. We didn't cancel it. It was not like us or them.
Why did you cancel Eureka?
Yeah.
Really, I've had enough small-town pranks and big-town minds.
Right.
That's what, it's like the people, fans of Friends, being like, where the fuck is Cheers? Matt LeBlanc, what did you do with Woody?
Yeah. Talk about the process of working on the show. What was that like? I mean, you have a lot of experience in pop culture writing, also comic book writing, but TV writing on a weekly basis is vastly different, I have to imagine.
You know, it is, but it was more like being a journalist than I thought it was going to be, in that it's a very collaborative process. And so I know a lot of guys, a lot of like comic book writer buddies and screenwriter buddies, who just can't handle the, I'm in a room with 12 other people and I've got to give my ideas and it's all got to be free-flowing and collaborative. And a lot of writers aren't good at the collaborative. They're better at the in my own house with the lights on a special level and a lot of Joy Division playing and go, go, go. So, like,
Joy Division. Deep breath.
Yeah. I'm dating myself. Condor Man.
Condor Man, Joy Division. Division. That's great. Oh, we have a lexicon that'll spoil you guys.
Yes, when's the news on the March segment? When do we So it was fantastic to sort of be there with writers a lot better and older and more wizened and experienced than I was, and just kind of learn. Like, that was the thing that I wanted most out of this job, was to learn. They couldn't even promise me a script when I got the job. They're like, listen, we're only doing 11, we've got 12 writers in the room, we don't know if you're going to get one. I was like, I don't care. I just want to go and I want to learn. I want to watch you make the sausage. And I'm like, oh, we're going to make some sausage. Oh, you watch. It's going to get ugly.
Did they also do television scripts?
Yes. Oh. They're all named after pizzas.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So you get there. And at what point in the process were they when they got there?
They'd already shot the pilot. They already had 3 scripts in-house and 2 more outlines for the upcoming scripts.
Okay.
So out of 12 episodes, there were already 5 that were kind of solid. So by the time I got there, they were starting to break story on the 6th one. If you don't know what breaking story means, it's where all 6 writers sit in a room for about 5 days and come up with each and every beat that goes on in the story. Everything is act 1, scene 1. These 5 people are in a room. They're talking about this. Character beat, emotional beat, plot beat. Act 1, scene 2, and so forth and so on for 6 acts of a TV show, which will fill basically a whiteboard the size of this wall. Of just
we just have this little banner here.
Yeah. Like,
these are all the ideas we have.
There's like 12 words there.
And it hasn't changed in 5 years.
Metaphor.
Oh. Please carry on.
That's a hurtful rep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a lot of that. That's what I kind of got there for, the being in the room experience. And then once that breaking the story was done, whatever writer was assigned to that particular episode went off to write it. So we could listen to his Joy Division and keep the lights on but so low and be in his cave in which he could write.
And if you need to take a break, you put on News of the March or Condor Man.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We had like 9 copies of Condor Man, just in case. No waiting.
That's the only 9 copies in existence.
So you went in there, they were already on the 6th episode, but you wrote next week's episode. So how'd that happen? How did you go from you may not get to write anything to you're writing one of the more most important episodes of the series.
Clearly, it's the most important episode.
Right.
It happened because all the other writers were busy, and as the baby writer on the show, it was, I will do whatever you need me to do. What do you want? What do you need to have happen that isn't happening? And the show owner said, well, in 4 episodes from now, we've got a heist. So give some thought to what a heist would look like in our world. And I'm like, heist? I fucking know heists. I can do a heist. I robbed a bank twice.
So, same bank twice?
Yeah, same bank nice. Twice. Really.
Ballsy.
Well, they don't expect you're going to come back.
No. Oh, yeah. No. Like the Spanish Inquisition.
Get the fuck out of here. He's back. Get the money.
He's got balls.
Yeah.
So I did. I sat there and I gave them what I called the Chinese menu version of it. I gave them like a list of here's what they could be stealing and like 5 or 6 variables on that. Here's why they could be stealing it. Here's 5 or 6 variables on that. Here's who could be stealing it. I gave them like 12 different like mix and match options. Do with it what you will. And they were like, all right, well, clearly you've spent some time on this. Yeah, you told me to spend some time on this. And that's why I came here, to spend some time on this. And so they kind of pulled me aside and said, all right, listen, we think you're going to write this one, so pay attention. So I paid attention, and we broke the story, and I wrote it, and in like 4 days, and I didn't go to the set. I wanted to go to the set, but I couldn't.
Oh.
Because they shoot in Toronto, and I'm not sure if you know there, but there's like Wendigos in Toronto, so I decided not to.
You've been reading too much Alpha Flight, I think. There are many fewer Wendigos.
But I got to watch dailies, which was awesome, and I got to see like 4 or 5 different cuts of the episode that got progressively better because the first cut was horrible, as all first cuts are.
Yeah.
And tell me. Maybe mine just really sucks. But,
no, that's true.
Yeah.
You know.
The first cut of this show was not that
good. Yeah, yeah,
you had a banner.
See our first banner.
So tell us a little bit about the episode. What happens in next week's episode?
Well, in next week's episode, not to give away more than they gave away in the next week on Alphas.
No, give away more.
Just one little bit. People came out what could have been rain.
These people all came from Toronto.
Wow. They brave the Wendigo store.
There's a Wendigo in the back. See?
That's not what Wendigos say. Wendigos say their name. They say Wendigo. There you go. That's a Wendigo.
Wendigo's next to Count Chocula.
But the whole season of Alphas has kind of been building to a conflict with Red Flag, which is a sort of like terrorist wing of people with powers who are not going to do what the government tells them. And we've established this whole concept of Binghamton being the place where bad alphas go, the sort of prison, the supermax facility for the worst of the worst. And so in some fashion, our team all gets stuck in Binghamton. And they're accused of being traitors to the cause. They're accused of all being parts of Red Flag.
That's how they describe traveling in Binghamton. Yeah. You just get stuck there and you're like, I'm in Binghamton.
Yeah,
they're saying, I guess I'll go to the coat factory.
Yeah. Burlington coat factory?
Burlington.
I don't know.
All right. Binghamton is a prison for slightly overweight people. You should go there. They eat a lot of garbage plates.
It's Rochester.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of kind of interrogation and emotion and secrets and lies and escapes, maybe, and fighting and punching and a kiss or two. Ooh. And yeah.
Two.
Or two, I think. Yeah.
Like the same people kiss twice, like they go.
It's a dude like doing that thing.
Nice.
Yeah, I know like exactly that. What you're talking about.
You stand in a closet door to somebody.
Yes. Binghamton.
That's the way people have sex in Binghamton. They turn around.
Yeah. That's why they built the coat factory there.
No? Huge upstate region blunder.
I'm so sorry.
You're turning me off.
Sorry, I'm more of a Long Island boy. So.
Yeah, I know.
So the show has been picked up for a second season. You don't know yet if you're going to be working on the second season.
I don't know. Like the last conversation I had was, hey, listen, we thought you did really well this season for your first season. For a baby writer, you did everything we wanted you to do. But if we get picked up, we don't know if we're going to have jobs. We're not going to know if Sci-Fi will fire everybody. We're not going to know if they're going to give us jobs and make us fire everybody else. Like, there's 87 different Chinese menus of how it could go for the second season. But we liked you. We thought you did a good job. So we'll see. Thanks for stopping by.
When do you find out?
Unclear.
As soon as your car arrives back to Jersey, you find out if you have to ship it back. Did you get to use it out in L.A. at all?
I did, despite the fact that I subletted a place literally 5 minutes from the studio. I could have walked, but I was in L.A., and you just don't walk.
Yeah.
I know. Scandalous.
Yeah. You had to put on Devo and drive to work.
I kind of did, yeah.
So the one other thing that you're doing, just to plug it a little bit, so you're doing a book called Jake the Dreaming that's coming out from Radical Comics?
Yeah, it's an illustrated children's YA book that that me and my writing partner Adam Freeman wrote for Radical, and we finished our draft about 5 or 6 months ago, but now they're just starting to get all the illustrations in, and it's kind of beautiful, crazy, and Radical is high on the book, is how all the emails say we're high on the book.
High on
the book? High on the book! They've been rolling and smoking it.
Yeah. Nice. It's a weird way of saying that they like something.
Yeah, high on it. It's got lots of four-quadrant potential. But all right, whatever you say. Just
four-quadrant. Yeah,
they're in Hollywood.
What are the four quadrants again?
I think it's sweet, sour, salty, and...
Bros, babes, gray hairs, and idiots. That's the four quadrants. For Radical, that's Radical's four quadrants.
Right.
If anyone says they're high on something, babes is definitely a quadrant.
Right. I'm just trying to figure out what those quadrants apply to whatsoever.
It's the four quadrants of potential audiences.
Right, I'm saying bros, babes, gray hairs, and...
Bros are bros.
Right.
Babes are girls.
Yeah.
Gray hairs are oldies, and idiots is everybody else.
Oh, there we go. Cool. I'm good with that.
Great hand gesture, dude. Really brought me back to
the pep.
Guys, we're going to talk much more. We're going to talk much more about all the stuff, all the four quadrants. Be sure to watch Alphas next Monday.
Yes, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right, there you go. And go to the New York Television Festival anytime.
Anytime. The festival is 20th through the 24th. And there's pilot screenings. There's a number of pilots that have gotten in.
Talk about yours.
Don't tell us.
And
yeah.
The two of mine, Friday and Saturday for Deuter, which is a web show that I'm in. Sort of a bunch of New York young folks hanging out. It's Friday night and Saturday afternoon. And Band Girlfriends is the one I directed. About Band Girlfriends, two girls who are the girlfriends of a terrible band and all the links they go to sort of make their boyfriend show really good. That's on Thursday and Friday. tickets are free, but you can reserve them on the New York Television Festival website, nytvf.com.
Awesome. Cool. All right, we're going to chat about plenty more about this, but let's move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
Thank you. All right. If this is your first time on the show, the idea of the stack is each one of us has made a pick, some title that we particularly like this week, and we're going to chat about why we liked it so much. First up is Justin's pick, which was Casanova Avaricia.
That's what I
number
say.
One. Yep. All right, there we go. Casanova Avaricia, number one, by Gabriel Ba and Matt Fraction. So you want to talk about this book?
Oh, man. It's like taking a college class on comic book making. It's so good. The writing is so original and full of ideas. The art across the board is amazing, from panel layout to the actual design and the actual art. It's just an amazing book. It's super trippy. It's a man named Casanova Quinn who's been he's been taken out of the reality he lived in and put in a new reality where he is like an agent for. In the other series, he's been agent on the good side, the bad side. He's back on the good side. And now he's traveling through a bunch of different universes, destroying those different universes.
All right.
I'm not doing it.
No, you're not going to do it? Okay, good.
What?
Yeah.
Why do we have to take a college class to read this
book? You don't have to take a college class.
Well, you said that in the beginning.
I said it's like, it just, it's...
It's like taking a college class?
No, it's not, yeah. You're gonna fuck some babes. You're gonna meet some bros. It's like a great comic on all fronts. Is what I mean by that.
So if you take a class,
you're getting caught up with the specifics. Though I have registered you for a class at the new school. On hygiene. It's actually
really.
Did you guys get to read this book? What do you think about it?
Yeah, it's weird. I like it. I think the art is really terrific.
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. Is this an issue one of this?
Yep. There's been two miniseries before this.
Okay.
And
four prequels.
Because Justin seems to know a lot more about it than I do. and I read it, so he's better at this than I am. I mean, I liked it. I feel like I would, I agree, I feel like it really pushes, like, a lot of really nice boundaries. Like, the art is really cool. Like, there's a chapter that's, like, that shows him in all these different universes, which is really awesome. But it's also sort of like, okay, let's talk about what's happening and how we feel about it, rather than, like, you know, like...
Tripped out.
Look at 95 panels, like, how intricately I can... You know, I don't know. But I think maybe that's just because I'm not as, like, jaded about comics just in general as maybe you are. You like...
I'm jaded?
I don't know about jaded.
We should take this class I'm teaching at yeah. school. It's
in
about
IG.
This comic. Yeah.
That particular...
Did you get to read this? What did you think?
I did. I've been a fan of Casanova since the very, very beginning. And it always feels to me like it's the better third season of Lost... Like, it's trippy and smart and action-filled, but it's all, like, meta-textual, and it functions on every level you kind of want this particular comic to function on. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, yeah, Matt Fraction is just going for it in a way that I have the utmost respect for. And Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba just make my balls hurt or something.
I know, especially the left
brain.
Especially the left.
Yeah, totally.
Because my balls hurt reading it. But I couldn't tell whether it was a good thing or a bad thing.
You thought it was an unrelated issue.
Yeah.
Testicular torsion, really good book.
Yeah.
Well, if you buy an issue of this, either Gabriel Bauer or Fabio Moon will come by your house and twist your balls a little bit.
They're very nice. They're South Americans.
Yeah,
so
they're great guys.
Portuguese.
Yeah, they're really one of the guys.
Love,
right? They twist your balls.
I said yes before I even thought about what that meant. Because it was actually incredibly painful.
But this book isn't. You should definitely pick it up. It's great. I think this is the best issue of the series. Let's move on to Pete's pick, which is Wolverine Debt of Death.
Yeah!
Debt of Death. Number one. Of one. Pete, this is a Wolverine book.
Yeah, it is.
Tell us what's different.
Wait, I just want to ask you, because I got to own up to something. I didn't actually get a chance to read this book. I read the
other...
Hold on. I read the other Wolverine book, which was great, and you're stupid for not liking. But my question is this. Is Wolverine kind of on his own, trying to keep to his lonesome, and he ends up in a bar somewhere, and he kills a bunch of dudes?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
If I do read robots, then yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, that's what I meant.
Yeah, there's robots, okay, so that makes it different. No, this is just kind of like old-timey Wolverine fun here. Well, yeah, I mean, there's giant robots.
He doesn't have a funny hat on.
Is he playing the piano?
Like, your definition of old-timey is funny hats?
Show me a picture of sometime in the 20s where people aren't wearing funny hats.
I would say maybe funny mustaches, but I don't know about hats. But anyways, this is just, you know, Wolverine kicking ass and kind of a cool thing where, you know, it starts off about giant robots, and you're like, what? And then you see this kind of crime happen in Japan. You're not sure what's going on. Yeah. But Wolverine comes in, and he's got to kill a bunch of people, and then he figures it out. Man. But no, it's just classic, great Wolverine story.
Is he selling this book to you guys?
Did you guys get to read this one? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I got to say.
What? Don't watch your mouth. You watch your mouth right now.
This is barely a Wolverine comic.
What?
90% of this book is Japanese people worrying about things.
It's a documentary.
The other 10% is cutting to a scene where Wolverine has already kicked ass.
No.
No, there's like four scenes where there's bloody people, and it's like, sheek. And he's like, well, I'm glad I did that. I don't think he punches a single person in this.
Don't you say that. Don't you
find the panel where he punches someone.
I'll tell you what. I don't love all the Wolverine comics, but I love stressed out Japanese people. So
right.
I love it. I'm always watching Godzilla movies.
Mark?
He's still looking for a brain.
I mean, I kind of dug it. It was like an episode of the Rockford Files, but if there were giant Nazi robots in it.
Damn it!
No, it was cool. I mean, I will admit, I thought that the storyline was cool. I liked it. It seemed to me like the people who wrote it were sort of ashamed
that's a maybe.
That there were all these Wolverine elements in it. It was like, It's like, well, we won't. Well, they're giant robots, sure, but they're barely in it. And Wolverine's in it, and he has claws, sure. But it's sort of like, focus on that. Like, that's what's great about Wolverine. Like,
see, here's the thing I think you missed. Wolverine is the best he is at what he does, but what he does off screen.
Yeah. Is that true?
There you go.
Okay.
Pete, all right. You find anything yet?
Nope, he's still looking. He's more than halfway.
There's some action pages here.
He doesn't
jump out of a plane and he takes
apart
a robot.
What page?
It's like 45.
It is actually.
It's worth the wait, though.
I actually really like this comic as well. It is.
Amazing.
Yeah. It very much has a 70s feel. It really should be called Nick Fury and Wolverine.
Yeah. And now you're up to the 9/11 story.
Yeah,
so.
Which is very touching and,
yes,
and really cool.
It is a good book.
I just want to mention, we're not talking about it. There was the regular Wolverine series by Jason Aaron that came out. The latest issue was awesome.
No, it was really good. You guys
no, it's great. Pete didn't want to talk about it because he's stupid and crazy. All right, let's move on and talk about my pick, which is Animal Man, number one.
Yeah.
This is by Jeff Lemire and Travel Foreman. And if you never read the previous Animal Man series or any of the Animal Man series, don't know anything about Grant Morrison's Animal Man.
Grant Morrison's here.
Yes.
Grant
Morrison's you don't know about my series. Come on, my series.
How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you do that? I don't know what the head. Yeah, that's what he does. Anyway, this is a great series. Really incredible opening. Gets you right in. Basically, Buddy Baker is Animal Man. He's a family man. He's kind of a part-time superhero. And he ends up in over his head with a lot of things that are going on. Things rapidly get more and more horrific as the issue goes on as well. And there are at least three entirely separate jaw-dropping pages, I think, in here that completely make the second issue a must-buy. Beyond that, Travel Foreman's art varies from just very flat looking in a really interesting way when you're dealing with, yeah, in
it's
a very creepy way, to the point where he has these insane looking monsters that happen through, what?
Don't give away that last page, it's so creepy.
No, I'm not. Okay. Insane looking monsters halfway through the issue. His art style varies so much. This is a brilliant first issue.
Yep, and this was maybe not the only one, but got a second printing already from the DC new relaunch. So
it's almost too creepy. Like that last panel, I was like,
it is really
kind of turned off by. I was like, you what? No. I had to close the book and put it away.
I know you have a special
good thing
drawer
was the
where you keep all
the right.
Yeah. Yeah, the scary drawer.
Yeah. Help with the scary drawer.
Right. What'd you guys think about this book?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, it's definitely the kind of thing where I would want to. It makes you want to read the second issue, but. In both, I mean, that's both good and bad. Like, I feel like it was so much setup, and there was like all this creepy shit at the end, and you wanted it to be, you know, I want to get in and figure out what the hell is going on there because it seems really intriguing. But yeah, the art is appropriately terrifying.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I like or don't like the juxtaposition of like that terrifying art. Which is preceded by him being like, I'll summon the power of a cat to get to sleep. Like, all right, dude. That's your power? All right. I'm going to summon the power of a drunk person to get to sleep.
Well, if the art were so creepy, you would just want to punch him for saying that. Like, that's a real douchey thing to say.
Yeah.
And not drink water. Why do I keep having it? I kick it over.
Mark, what do you think about this book?
You know, by the time I got to the end, I was kind of on board, but I got a little waffly in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Especially when Animal Man is flying because he summoned the power of a bird. Birds fly because they're feathers. Like, it's aerodynamics. It's not, like, mystical science. They actually fly.
They're physically capable of doing it.
Yeah, like, they actually displace the wind, and there's all of that. He's just like, I'm flying because I'm a bird!
Slow down, Dr. Science.
I'm just saying, if you're going to do that thing, then don't do that thing.
Yeah.
So should he just have the power, when he summons the power of a bird, he can eat worms or something like
pretty
that?
Pretty much. Like, his neck has to keep on moving funny like that. Like,
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
He can poop on your head.
No.
He can just repeat shit.
Is there an objective source of Animal Man's power. He taps into like the web of life. Is that what it is?
Yeah, they're also apparently going to get into that in the series. The interesting thing about this is there's also a new Swamp Thing number one that was published the same week, written by Scott Snyder, and that Swamp Thing taps into a thing called the Green, and that's kind of the nature side of things.
The Big Green? I've seen that movie.
Yeah. What?
I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
Another deep breath.
Yeah, I don't even get that one.
It's a soccer movie. It's a terrible Sandlot ripoff soccer movie. Oh, okay. Well, all right. I appreciate that you see
the goat.
Well, you may have different tastes, though.
Did you know that if you get the power of a goat, you can kiss a goat?
That's the goat's power? To be kissed? Well, that is, it's a good point about Animal Man's power. Like, it's not like a cat is really good at going to sleep.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
if a cat had a job, it wouldn't sleep. It would work. We would be good at sleeping if we just did good.
Who else isn't good at going to sleep? Hippies.
All right, guys.
If I laid in the sun all day, I'd be a fucking master at sleeping. I say that.
Maybe it's a narcoleptic cat.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, then he needs another adjective in that.
I think we're going to move on with the next section.
Do we want to talk about... did you guys read the other... Are we going to talk about the other...
Yeah, let's talk about 52 more comic books.
No, well, not... Oh, what? Only a certain number. Did you guys read any of the other relaunches?
Yeah.
Any shout out any favorites or...
Yeah, shout it out.
Least we're all about Swamp Thing.
You like Swamp Thing? I thought it was good, also, though, a little similar to Animal Man.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say about that, actually, is that they are creating visual and thematic parallels there, and, I mean, they've hinted at it pretty strongly, but I think there's going to be some tie-in with what's going on in Swamp Thing, what's going on in Animal Man down the road.
Yeah, well, that's cool.
Yeah, those were good. Here's one I'll tell you that I was totally surprised that I liked was OMAC, number one, by Keith Giffen and Dan DiDio, which... I mean, he wrote kind of a terrible Outsider series, but OMAC was totally fun, totally silly, just smashing stuff, good Kirby drawings, ridiculous over-the-top Kirby ideas, some crazy characters in it. It was just a really enjoyable first issue, which I did not expect.
Anyone read Hawk and Dove, Rob Liefeld's?
It's hilarious.
Yeah. It's amazing because he didn't write it. Sterling Gates did, but it's like straight up Rob Liefeld. Like, I couldn't believe. And like, it's pretty good. It's good enough.
Well, I think for that, you know, I think what Sterling Gates is trying to do is write a lot of Rob Liefeld comic for Rob Liefeld to draw, and I think he was really successful at that.
Does anybody have feet?
Nope. Not yet.
No, right. But there's a plot reason.
Yeah, they're going to explain it.
Nice. Yeah, the feet chopper is coming after them.
Yeah. There's a parallel dimension that's just this high.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. They're always standing in portals.
They're just emerging from portals.
Cool. Any others you guys liked?
Well, I don't know. We could talk about Batgirl for a second. The origin, one at first sort of frustrating, because Barbara Gordon's back, which is really nice. She has red hair. But the way they did the origin, Gail Simone was so, she's very good. So
yeah, she's very good.
Okay.
She's nice.
All right.
She's nice.
She's not your aunt, is she? But the way they handled her origin is she was still shot by the Joker. She just got a little bit more better than the Barbara Gordon who became Oracle. So I thought that was such sort of a cop-out way of doing it.
Like, that's what happens, though. If people get hurt, they can heal.
I don't know then. It seems like sort of a cheap way to do it, and I wish it was.
Yeah, I have very mixed feelings
about
that.
Would you rather be a time bullet and then send her into a loop of time and then she came back?
I wish she was just a regular person who was like, hi, I'm Barbara Gordon and I'm going to be Batgirl, rather than being like, remember the Batgirl you liked? Just move the bullet a little bit further to the left or whatever, and it just seems very weird.
I mean, I think. In terms of what she had to do, Gail Simone did a heroic job in trying to make it work, but it didn't quite work, which is unfortunate.
It emphasized the plot.
That said, I handed it to my wife, who knows, you know, I've complained to her about the whole getting rid of Oracle thing, about Batgirl walking thing, but she's never really, she's even read Birds of Prey.
Was she really into when you were complaining about Oracle and stuff?
What?
Was she really into when you were complaining about Oracle?
Yeah, she was, come on, tell me more.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it.
Come on, we're about to have sex. I need you to turn it.
Shoot me in the spine, man.
You guys clearly have been privy to our love thing.
He exposed some intimate details of his life. So.
And so you exposed him.
I mean, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was there once.
Yeah. You came to our doorway in that Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah, that's when you conceived your daughter.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. Anyway, I gave her the comic, And she said, yeah, I'd read the second issue. And I said, oh, so you weren't upset about any of this stuff? She said, no, I don't care. So,
good woman.
For non-regular readers, it may not be as big of a deal.
Which is who DC really wants.
Like, exactly.
They kind of don't want the 100,000 people every week who are buying it anyway, who will buy it anyway. They want the other, I don't know, 300 million people who aren't buying comics every week to give it a try.
Oh, so, man, I always forget about those people.
Yeah.
Who are those people?
Everybody is who those people. Yeah, kind of. So, I mean, that's kind of how I feel about all the 52, is that some of them are good, some of them are okay, some of them are kind of horrible. But it all depends on what the third issue is. Mm-hmm. You know, like the first issues can be whatever they are. They will all sell out because the marketing did its job. Like that, they told me on Alphas when we premiered and we got these huge ratings. And like, listen, that's the marketing department. The marketing gets the win for the pilot. They get the win for the first because the bus ads and the TV spots and the before movie trailers and all that, that's their win. Your win comes on episode 5 or 6 to see how many people stick around because they like the pilot. So, like, the 52, the number ones are kind of like, okay, well, Justice League sold out. Great. Like, David Hyde and the publicity department and the DC Entertainment marketing all should get giant fucking bottles of champagne. They kind of, they only do, like, they break ships with.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know.
They break ships with.
They totally do.
So many ships.
You're broke.
You don't know. Bermuda Triangle, man. It's one fucking giant bottle of champagne to blast. But it'll be like, you know, issue 4. Like, are they still good? Are people still buying? Like, did they do their job? Did they hook you? Or did you just buy it because you were kind of programmed to buy it by marketing, which is how the rest of the world works.
Oh, man, when are we going to have superstar marketers? Who's the Jim Lee of marketing? We don't even know his name.
It's probably the king of San Diego.
True.
Yeah.
He's probably he sleeps in a giant champagne glass.
Oh man!
Jeez. Yes.
He's gonna drown.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Somebody's gotta look out for that guy.
I creep into people's bedrooms all the time, so I'll check it out.
We can do that. That would be great.
I'm done with yours.
Guys, that's it for the stack. Now, for real, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions. For that, we're going to bring out Poop Bag!
Watch the lagoon.
I know. I left my cup. I left my
go.
Whatever it is.
I know. Cups are creeping up all over the place.
Cups are creeping up all over.
What you got?
No, nobody?
You broke out into a musical there?
Yeah. Carousel. Nobody likes Carousel. Read some questions. Boothman lives in the booth, in case you're wondering.
If you became a superhero tomorrow, what comic book company would you want to do your officially licensed adventures and why?
Oh, wow. Good question.
I'd start a bidding war.
Cool. You're sort of focused on fighting crime, as it were. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'd have to drop by the office.
If it's DC, you probably have a better chance of being a billionaire with no problems, right?
Yeah.
DC.
What are you in it for? Cartoon books? Publishers of Bone.
Yeah.
Real independent spirit.
real one-track mind. cartoon books.
What about you guys?
Archaea.
Yeah?
They put out a pretty book.
Yeah, yeah. Heart got a heart.
Yeah!
They put out, like, home defense books. Like,
You want your book to break a robber's head?
Pretty much.
Cool.
Dear Archaea, thank you.
Dear Archaea, thanks for saving me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would say, I mean, like, I like Image, but I would also say Marvel would probably give me stories that made me seem really sympathetic. So even if I was a real dick, they'd probably be able to be like, well, he lost his mom at a young age, so.
You could be White Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, exactly. White Spider-Man. Like, when will the upsurge of crowd support be for White Spider-Man?
Yay, they killed Miles Morales.
Yeah. Oh. Finally a hero for the white comic book fan. White Spider-Man! What's the Twitter hashtag? It's White Spider-Man.
He can go into, you know, neighborhoods, bad neighborhoods, like the Bronx.
Or he could be from Forest Hills, Queens, where all the white people live.
Oh, that would be great. He could just live with his aunt.
Yeah. Oh, man, we should sit down.
We should talk about White Spider-Man. I think this would be good.
Oh, you're going to start
bidding more. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
I believe this is from Mark. Mm-hmm. Why Binghamton, and have you heard of the drinking game?
Binghamton was devised by people who had never been to Binghamton. And most of the cast actually couldn't say the word Binghamton. It was always Binghamton.
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 That's delightful.
People don't know how to say that.
Yeah. But for some reason it stuck, despite my telling them that as an East Coaster, Binghamton doesn't make me think Sinister Prison just caters, really. So not quite the, oh no, we're going to Binghamton. It's like, yay, Binghamton.
Yeah, and coat factories.
And coat factories, yes.
Let it go.
Every time, it's let like it a strike. We're both from upstate New York guys.
Long Island.
And I have not heard of the drinking game.
What is it?
So what's the drinking game?
I was Googling Binghamton Alphas, and apparently there's a drinking game. Every time you mention Binghamton, they take a shot.
Oh, nice.
Oh. That's just Binghamton residents do that?
I think it's supposed to go to school.
It's a school there, you know, State University.
Oh, yeah.
I just drink whenever it's on. Whatever happens, it's drink.
We're back from commercial. We drink! Woo! Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Probably let's get the next question.
What do you enjoy about comics that no other medium can do as well?
Paper cuts.
Paper cuts. You enjoy the paper cuts?
I do. I'm a bit of that dude. I'm just saying.
So what if I do?
Shoot me in the spine, Dan.
This is an answer that I didn't say, but someone on our show recently did. I believe it was Riley Brown said it's one of the only mediums where you control the pace that you enjoy it. Mm-hmm. With an, obviously regular books also, but like with regular images and stuff, and where there is more of something you can sort of read in like 5 or 10 minutes. Where you're just like, oh, I really like this, and you can sort of dwell on it and then move on as you want. And like I know that the three of us read comics at very different paces. So
how does that go?
It takes me about an hour to read a comic.
Yeah, an hour before the show, I was like, well, these are the two we're doing, and Pete was like, I'm not going to have time.
No, but what I really like about comics is there's a lot of imagination, the stuff that happens in between panels. You're just seeing little parts of a bigger story, and it's great because, you know, a book is all your imagination, but a comic is a little bit more of half and half, where you can bring things that happen in between the panels as well as set up a great action. So, I don't know, man. I just love the fact of, it's for me, it's a great kind of keeping what I loved about my childhood alive.
It's probably hard to add a bunch of gun deaths in like Pride and Prejudice. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Words. Yeah, like when.
Like you do when you read Punisher.
Yeah. It's not the same deal.
Yeah. You add additional deaths between the panels of Punisher?
Yeah. Oh, tons. You should hear him talk.
I know it looks like he just walked across the room, but he actually left and then killed the two and came back and he left on the other side.
That's there. It's in the context. Yeah. You just have to look for it.
Okay, alright.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you said to me there wasn't any action in the Wolverine comic, I was like, bullshit.
Where's your imagination?
Yeah. Cool. Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics, and let's get the next question.
If Comic Book Club was the option to be a movie.
What? Wait, is this happening?
No, guys, don't. No.
This is by a high-powered Hollywood producer.
This is how they want to like have a meeting.
Would you sleep with me is the end of the question. Yes.
With you?
Yes, would you sleep with me
if we were going to have a movie?
Okay.
A high-powered Hollywood producer.
I think they can just write the story. We don't need to like provide extra drama. Yeah. Go ahead.
I would like to hear what the real question is.
I'm not interested.
So if Comic Book Club was optioned to be a movie, who would you want to play all of you?
Pete would be, who's that famous bear?
Yogi?
The one.
Yogi! The one that stands on the ball and sort of with a fez?
Yeah.
He works a lot, I don't know.
Yeah.
I would kind of hope for like a younger Bruce Willis. Somebody gritty.
You'd hope. Yeah, keep hoping. That doesn't happen very often.
I love the idea of a bear reading the script and being like, I don't get this. Why would he say that?
This is ridiculous. This comic was no good.
Yeah.
It was just Wolverine going to a bar and killing people.
So Adrian Brody.
Sure. So far, a bear who's probably Russian.
Adrian Brody would do it.
Yeah, Adrian Brody. Well, he'd side out as soon as he heard the bear.
Yeah.
he would say, I really wanted to work with that bear.
They all talk the same.
Thomas Jane.
Wow.
And he would do it. You guys are fucking twins. Gene Wilder.
Yeah. For now. We do the age makeup from the third X-Men movie.
Yeah. Nice.
So we look all weird.
Horrible.
Yes, horrible.
And then Matthew Broderick?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get that a lot. I also get Matt LeBlanc and John Cryer often.
Oh yeah. If Matt LeBlanc and John Cryer had a baby, it would probably be
they're 6 months pregnant.
What? And time traveling.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, gentlemen?
Who would play you guys?
Yeah, what about Boothman?
Yours would be a drawing of Sabretooth with a bathroom on
it.
I live in the booth.
I guess I'd probably have Alan Ruck play me.
Ooh.
My experience on this.
That's fair. Tracy Morgan.
There we go.
Cool. Why not? I mean,
Because
I like going topless, screaming with.
Yeah, that's
right. Wait until the end of the show.
Also, I always hate to say this, but I often, people have told me on several occasions I look like a white Eddie Griffin. You guys think about that? I hate to say that because I've said that to people before. Like, I was on a date with a girl and I said that to her, and she was like, oh, I can't look at you anymore.
Nice.
I don't know if you were
smart.
I got a million of them.
There it is.
Yeah. On the other hand, that's how Pete married that bear.
Yeah, it's true.
How's that
going? Going strong.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics.
That's it.
So the rest of the questions are going to be a lightning round. First answer is always correct. Let's do it.
Was Alpha's Dr. Rosen shaved? Is that correct?
What?
So as not to compete with the lead on Warehouse 13?
Yes. Sure, because Saul Rubinek and David Chathairn are totally the same guy.
We can't have too much facial hair on Sci-Fi Channel.
Cannot. Yeah. Old white dudes with beards. Yeah. You just can't.
It'll off put the prepubescent thing.
That's why they changed it to SYFI.
Yeah.
The old thing indicated facial hair.
Yeah, it's true.
Cool, that answers your question. Let's get the next one.
With gods attacking, gods' weapons that take control of heroes, and the heroes losing, and Batman's counterpart, Captain America, dying, is Fear itself a copy of Final Crisis?
Oh, interesting.
I don't think so.
Kind of sure.
I don't think so, kind of sure.
I don't think so. Until that person just worded it like that.
That's some good cross-company textual analysis, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, you're always going to have big ultimate evil that's going to be threatening the superhero universe. You know, I think
I've never heard about that before.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can draw parallels, but I think they're different enough.
Well, and also, how many times is there going to be like another secret god who lives further down in the earth? That's going to be like, no, I'm the fucking god. And I'm going to come and my friends are going to kill you. Like, that's sort
down
of just,
in the earth?
Like,
literally?
Even further. I mean, that's where the serpent lives.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was kind of in the crust.
Eventually,
of the
you go down.
So there's another god who's looking up at him going,
you got your shot, serpent. I'm next.
Yeah. They have weakened the bonds of the earth right above me so I can come through. Yeah. And the guy below him is like, you just go through and then I'm going to come through too.
Yeah. It's like an apartment building.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck. I'm next.
What do you do to your upstairs neighbors?
I wish them good luck. On my roof, there's a fight club. And so we're fighting heroes.
Yes, and you're going up next.
Fortunately,
cool.
I live in
Let's
the basement.
Let's get the next question.
Did you find Animal Man number one and Swamp Thing strangely similar?
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Next question.
Last one.
Question.
This is actually two questions.
Oh, boy.
How many times did the Batmobile catch a flat?
Catch a flat? That's a cool way of saying it.
It lost its wheel once and the Joker got away. I remember that. What?
What?
Come on. You say 12. Look it up.
12?
Yep.
All right. Last question. What's the meaning of life?
42.
All right.
That's everyone's question. Thank you, Ruben. All right. It is time for an X section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
So we're going to hit you with a couple of quick little geek culture topics today. First one, you guys might have been wondering what was going on with the Cable Reborn series that's coming out of Marvel from Jeff Loeb and Ann McGuinness. They officially announced what it is. The actual title is Avengers X-Sanction. and it's about Cable coming back to life after Second Coming and trying to, according to cover art, shoot everybody in the head. So,
I
see nothing wrong with any of this.
Yeah.
Are you guys looking forward to this? Happy to have Cable back?
It's a crazy title.
X-Sanction? It's... Okay, it makes me think of the Extinction Agenda, things like that, which were almost actually words. And I don't think X-Sanction is a word.
Yeah.
Is it? Am I wrong about that?
X-Sanction?
X, the letter X, and then S-A-N-C-T-I-O-N.
Really? Sanction is not a word I really associate with anything fun. Like, it's not like something I'm like, oh, cool. A sanction. So I don't know why that would be the title of anything. I like Cable as a character, especially at the last, his standalone series was awesome. So good. Yeah. By Dwayne
Swierczynski.
Yes, Swierczynski.
Yeah.
So I hope that he comes back and he's like that, but that sounds crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right, next thing, this was a big issue, Tempest in a Teapot, that happened last week. There was a comic book seller, comic book store owner,
shop.
I guess. Yes, comic book shop, there you go, that posted on Facebook. They were super upset about Action Comics number one, particularly because there's one panel of Superman getting hit by a tank blast and the exclamation GD was written, which he took to be Superman saying, "God damn," and then he said, "That's it. I'm done with Grant Morrison and his commie liberal agenda. We're no longer carrying Action Comics or anything like that. Get him out of our stores."
Yeah.
And everybody who is a good Christian should do the same thing. Then Grant Morrison said, "There's a bunch of other stuff on the page, like Al and ah, and things like that."
Jehovah.
Yeah, exactly. And Yah being, yeah.
Yahweh.
Yahweh. There you go. So praise God is what he said.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I imagine that person burning all of his copies of Action Comics and being like, "Well, I'll see what Hellboy's doing today." Oh, he's in hell. Perfect.
That was the crazy thing about his statement. He said later on, "Action Comics is the final straw. That's too much." But earlier on, he said, "I've put up with titles like Crossed." Comics, Superman
like
saying GD.
Oh my God.
I'm fine with a father raping all of his daughters with a cross thing on his head while he eats their penises out. Not the daughters.
Excuse me?
Darn.
You know the
now that's a pitch for a book.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know the difference between that and women?
Yeah. No. Right. Don't ask.
Women don't have penises.
tell that to my wife.
Dip.
You know, it's natural selection. Like, if you decide you don't want to sell Action Comics number one, then your store is going to go out of business, really.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be clear. Like, if it's going to move 100,000 copies, that was your mortgage for that month.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And you're not going to get it. So thanks for stopping by, crazy Christian comic store.
And just think about on Sunday when the church is empty out and the comic book stores fill up. Like, it's just too bad. He's losing so much of that business.
Although, if the store was called Crazy Christian Comics, I'd probably stop by.
Well, you loved Studio 60 so much.
Yeah. Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip?
Yeah, that's a ref. Thank you. Yeah,
I know the show.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy Christian.
Yeah, there you go. All right, we're going to move on. Another thing, so we talked a little bit about the DC Comics sales. DC Comics came out this week and said, "Congratulations to ourselves. We had the top-selling comic of 2011 with Justice League number one, selling over 200,000 copies. Unfortunately, that's not actually true, as there are plenty of comics all over the world that have sold far more than that, including there's a Brazilian comic just this month that sold over 500,000 copies called Teen Monica's Gang."
Yeah.
So there you go. That's
a huge fan.
So are you guys looking forward to the new issue of Teen Monica's Gang is my question.
Yeah. Friends rep.
Certainly. It's a prequel to Friends.
Yeah.
When Monica was still overweight.
Yeah.
It's her.
I think the thing that's most interesting about the story is we talk a lot about how dire things are in the comic book industry, but we fail to take it into account that there are other comic book industries than just America. That's
quite flourishing.
Yeah,
well, doing gangbusters. Because, you know, they never decided not to sell comics to their children.
Right.
Yeah.
What was it? How many copies? One Piece, every time it comes out in Japan, sells about 2 million copies or something like that?
2 million?
Yes. That's a little bit more than 200,000.
Yeah.
That is enough.
Very nice
That's enough to buy robots to beat up Wolverine for a whole issue.
But off panel.
Yeah, off panel.
Yeah. Robots never did the fighting on panel. That is... I forgot what I was
going to
say. That's cool.
Cool. Last little thing we're going to talk about. Another thing tying in DC Comics and Marvel Comics. Over on Twitter, if you searched for Marvel this week, what would come up as a top tweet was a tweet from DC Comics promoting their New 52, because they actually bought the keyword Marvel. In addition, people found out that they bought the keywords Thor, Captain America, Spider-Man, and a couple of others. So what do you think about this?
Wow.
Good business practice or the best business practice?
I think it's monocle business practice. It's evil single, like,
well done. Or did you mean just like slightly poor vision in one eye?
No, well, myopic and evil.
Yeah. Right. Hard to keep in your eye?
Just, yeah, pretty much.
I can't keep this handle.
DC character. So yeah.
Good. So the does Monopoly.
I believe you mean Rich Uncle Pennybags.
Not so rich if he's penny bags. That's crazy. That's a crazy thing that they have done.
Yeah.
Whose idea was that? Was that something that went all up and down the ladder?
It's that guy who's in the champagne glass.
Yeah.
Jim Lee.
Yes, Jim Lee.
Yeah.
He's covering his shit. Buy Twitter keywords.
Yeah.
I don't know what accent that was, but it really
could someone
me out.
Draw a picture of Alex doing that? Impossible.
Put it on Twitter.
Or Gene Wilder.
Yeah. That's it for the Week of Geek.
Yeah!
Guys, we're going to move on with trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Mr. Pete LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand. You've already won one, so we're going to go with the new guy. Come on.
David,
audience David.
Nice.
All right. So this is your gift card that you'll be winning shortly.
Oh, baby.
today's trivia is on Alpha. So listen
Alphas.
To the question. Alphas, right? Thank you for correcting me. Thank you.
Stick with it.
All right, so listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers. Go
right.
3 for 3, gift card yours.
Here we go.
Use the music. And if you were paying attention when he was talking at the beginning of the show, you'll get all three of these right.
Okay.
What is the name of the group of bad guys that Alpha discovers?
Okay.
Is it A, Red Flag? B, the DOD, or C, the evil McGillicutties? So it's either A or it's B.
It's A.
A is correct! Red Flag. What was Alphas originally known as? Is it A, the Elite, B, Section 8, or C, Crime in Space? So it's either A, which is wrong, or it's B, Section 8.
I really like C, but I'm going to say B.
B is correct, Section 8.
Nice.
The filming of the pilot episode took place in, is it A, Toronto, Canada, B, New York, or C, Smallville? So it's A.
A
is for
wonderful.
$25
Thank you very much.
All right. Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Nice.
But, Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Scalped. It's winding down. I'm very sad, but I'm looking forward to it.
They have 8 issues left, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I'm looking forward to Criminal Last of the Innocent, number 4, winding out the series. This has been one of the best noir series out there. Definitely go pick it up. Little pocket pitch on it. Yeah, it's Ed Brubaker. It's sort of taking the Archie characters, the Betty-Veronica-Archie relationship, and putting it in a crime murder world.
What?
It's awesome. It's so good. It's one of the best.
Yeah,
are you guys, anybody reading it?
Yes!
Definitely go pick it up if you have any interest in what I just said.
Yeah, there you go. There's a bunch of awesome stuff coming out tomorrow. There's all the new 52 stuff. There's Ultimate Spider-Man number one is coming out tomorrow. But also Pigs number one is coming out tomorrow from Nate Cosby and Ben McCool from Image Comics. And it's about a communist sleeper cell in Cuba that's awoken in 2011 and basically has the mission to destroy America. And what happens?
I don't like that at all.
It's not actually going
to happen. No, it's real. It's a documentary coming. Happening in real time, so look forward to that.
They're writing it and publishing it into reality.
Yes. Very excited about that. They're good friends of the show, so definitely check out Pigs number one. Mark?
I'm on board with Criminal. I've been a big fan of that since almost as long as Casanova. And it pains me that Ed Brubaker is younger than I am. It just does. I don't like that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Let's destroy
people that talented are not allowed to be younger than I am. Fuck that.
I was trying to think of literally any way you could solve that problem, and you definitely can.
Murder.
Oh, there you go. There you go. You can start writing Criminal then. Plug some of your stuff also. What should people check out?
Yes, Alphas on Monday night. My episode, the finale of the week after, but who gives a shit? My episode next Monday. Whoa!
That's a real frosty throw.
That's a $300 kiss.
Yeah, I know.
And Jake the Dreaming out from Radical, electronic version at the end of this year, print version beginning of next.
All right, cool. Awesome. Alden, what are you looking forward to?
I saw a couple things on there that are good. There's a new Green Lantern number one, which might be good. I don't know. Do you know what it's going to be about? I don't know anything about it.
Sort of the same shit.
A bunch of Green Lantern flying around. Yeah.
Kind of a dupe.
Actually, it is quite different. Sinestro is now the main character, so it's actually an interesting change.
Well, why is it called Green Lantern if it's about Sinestro?
He's a Green Lantern. That was the reveal at the end of the last Green Lantern arc. Yeah, I'm going to check that out.
Okay. It's good. It's written by Jeff Johns and Ivan Reyes, and he's doing the art. It's going to be good.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Cool. And plug some of your stuff, Alden.
Got Gentrify every Friday night at 11 p.m. in the UCB Theater.
Come there. I am one of the co-hosts.
No, what?
Cat's out of the bag. It's actually really good. If you're not familiar with this show, it's a variety show we do every week with stand-up, sketch, and improv. It's one or more of those three things times a couple. We always have really great guests, and it's a really great move to the new theater, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's an amazing show.
All right. Couple of things before we go. You can check us out at youtube.com/comicbookclub. Also on our new website, comicbookclublive.com, which has the show schedule, videos, podcast episodes, and much more. Pete, anything else you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook. That way you get to hear about all the amazing guests that we have on the show.
So great.
Yeah,
guys, a couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank Mark for being on the show. Alden. Most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys.